please. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 67. The book of Psalms, chapter 67. We are in March for Missions. This is a missionary psalm. It is not a long psalm, but it is still yet a missionary psalm. Psalm 67, please. Everyone needs a Bible. Psalm 67. I'll read the odd numbers and you'll read the evens. Have you found it? Say amen. Amen. Here we go. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. This is a missionary psalm. One of the great hymn writers, William Shrubsole, wrote a hymn based on this psalm in 1795. It says, "Arm of the Lord, awake, awake, put on thy strength, the nations shake, and let the world adoring see triumphants of mercy wrought by thee. Say to the heathen from thy throne, I am Jehovah, God alone. Thy voice their idols shall confound and cast their altars to the ground. Let Zion's time of favor come. Oh, bring the tribes of Israel home, and let our wandering eyes behold Gentiles and Jews in Jesus' fold. Almighty God, thy grace proclaim in every clime of every name, till adverse powers before thee fall, and crown the Savior, Lord of all." In Psalm 67, you hear a missionary theme. Now, I admit, as you look at Psalm 67, it is anonymous. We don't know who wrote it. Now, we assume it was King David that wrote it. But Psalm 67 is a part of a quatrain of Psalms, the four Psalms of 65, 66, 67, and 68, that all emphasize the theme of God's providence. It is dedicated to the choir director of the tabernacle. The word neganoth there, if you see it as part of your title, means a harp, that this short psalm was meant to be played and sang to on an instrument like this. But it's interesting, it says in my title, a psalm or song. Does that say that in yours? What that means is that this could be both sung as a song or recited as a poem. The short psalm is a psalm of solemnity and praise. It is both a prayer and a sermon. And God voices his concerns about over Israel, for the nations, and for creation. And it is a psalm of blessings that draw attention to God's sovereignty. Now, some people I've read after said, well, this is a psalm of thanksgiving because it's always read at Pentecost. Now, when you and I think of Pentecost, we think of the Holy Spirit coming down and empowering the local New Testament church at Jerusalem. But Pentecost was an actual celebration of harvest, the first fruit harvest of the Jews. So that's why it also has themes of mercy, blessing, and goodness. The psalm is rooted in both the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 12, that in blessing I will bless thee, but also in the what we would call the Aaronic or the blessing of Aaron, Numbers chapter 6, where it says, may the Lord's face shine upon thee and give thee peace. It is a missionary theme in the fact that it's talking about Jews and Gentiles, not just Jews. It's talking about all the nations. It's mentioned three times. And it's not talking about nations with boundaries, borders, and political systems. It's talking about people groups. I would think unreached people groups. And then it mentions the earth four times, and it mentions peoples, plural, five times. And it has the same identical refrain. You look at that in verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. And then it does it again in verse 5, almost like a chorus. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. So you can break this psalm up in three sections. You can do verses 1, 2, and 3, then verse 4 and 5, then verse 6 and 7. But as you read this, the psalmist has this confidence in God that all the people of the world will praise God. And even though we've seen some maybe glimmers of that, we won't see it fully till the millennial reign. And you think to yourself, well, what has any of this got to do with missions? Well, look at Psalm 67 and verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Now that word Selah means pause. Pause for effect. Pause, think. Pause, muse. Think about. Muse means to think. Amuse means to not think. And so I won't go into that joke, but the truth is that's what Selah means. Stop for a second. Let's look at that again. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Why? That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. This falls right in line with Jesus' stated goal of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when God saves us, we come to know him as he truly is. You know, before you trusted Christ as your Savior, I don't know if you're like me, I had these weird ideas of what God would be like. Did you? You kind of think God is like this or that, and maybe he was just a projection of my desires, wishes, and imaginations, or what I hoped he'd be like. But once I trusted Christ as my Savior, and the Holy Spirit's inside me bearing witness with me, remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8, 9, and 10, it says that God hath revealed the things of him to us by his Spirit. We start to know God truly as he is. He's our Father. He's our Savior. He's our Comforter. We know him. We know what he truly is. Now the psalmist prays that God's salvation will be known among the heathen. Look at verse number 2. That thy way may be known upon the earth. That's an interesting phrase. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. That same Hebrew grouping of words is also translated salvation in other areas, but it's his saving health among all nations. What is it that the nations need to know, and why do they need to know it? Well, we must tell other nations about God's mercy. Look at it again in verse 1. God be merciful unto us. The psalmist is pleading that people would come to know God's mercy. Last night we had a Bible study with a new family in church, and we got a chance to sit down and break down what salvation is and what salvation is not. And when I showed him Titus 3:5, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, I said, give me a definition of what mercy is. And so many times people have mercy and grace as synonyms. Or confused. Mercy is me not actually getting what I rightfully deserve. And it isn't until you realize, it was, or at least for me, it wasn't until I realized I deserved it, that I deserved to die and go to hell, that I even cared about God's grace. Because I didn't care until I realized the condition I was in. So the psalmist is begging God, he's praying. This is a missionary song. God, be merciful unto us. Then he pleads that God would bless them and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That prayer that they will see God's goodness and desire to know him. Now again, this psalm draws not only inspiration from Abraham's covenant, I will bless thee, but also from Numbers 6. If you've got your hand ready, just keep your hand there in Psalm 67 or your ribbon and jump over to Numbers 6. And verse number 24, 25, and 26. Sometime I'll preach a whole message on this. I don't have time tonight, but look at that. This is the blessing that God told Moses to tell Aaron, and then Aaron used it every week on the Sabbath day when he taught the people. This was a blessing that God gave Moses to give Aaron, and Aaron gave it from God to the people. It says, the Lord bless thee. He would raise his hand. The Lord bless thee. And keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This was a blessing for the people. This blessing originally given to Israel is now expanded in this psalm. Go back to Psalm 67 to encompass the entire earth. Look at that in verse number 1. Be merciful. His grace is a source of all the benefits, which, of course, all these benefits are undeserved, right? And unmerited. There's no work salvation here in Psalm 67. Be merciful. Then he says, bless. And what really jumped out at me was the idea of removing the curse that befell upon mankind in Genesis 3. Bless us. Remove that curse. When you think of the word saved, you understand we have made it use it as like a Christian standard or a Christian label. But what does the word actually mean? To be delivered from. When you were saved, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, then thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means shall be delivered from the power and penalty of your sin. Delivered from. That's what it means. So when he said, bless, O Lord, bless, please remove the curse. In contrast, we greatly deserve God's wrath and judgment. But he's asking God to show favor. Look at that. Cause his face to shine upon us. Do you see that last phrase there in verse number one? And in the Orient, which you would consider a part of Asia, and Israel sat in that, a monarch could reveal by his facial expression either pleasure or displeasure for the person standing in front of them. And that would be God, look upon us with favor. Look upon us with favor. Similarly, God, the great King, the great God, assures his own that he receives them and cares for them with joy when his face shines upon us. Take your Bible real quick. Keep your ribbon there in Psalm 67. Jump to Hebrews 4. I want you to look at Hebrews 4 real quick. Hebrews 4 in the back of the book. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Now, I love these verses right here. I love verse 14 and 15 that talk about Jesus as our high priest. I like verse 15 that talks about how that Jesus knows what it's like to be you. He knows what it's like to walk a mile in your shoes. He knows what it's like to be born into a hardworking family, a family with multiple kids. He knows what it's like to be lied to and cheated. He knows what it's like to see the blessings of this life. He just knows. All right, he knows what it's like to be us. He was tired. He was hungry. He was sorrowful. He rejoiced. He laughed. He knows what it's like to be us. So look at verse number 16 in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore, because our God knows us and knows what it's like to be us, come boldly unto the throne of grace. I want you to think of the story of Esther. The story of Esther. Remember, King Ahasuerus would not allow anyone into his presence who was not invited. And if you burst into the throne room and he didn't hold his scepter out, you were dead. Why? Because that's how you kept the king alive. You didn't let people in his presence that wasn't invited. We have the Secret Service for that right now with many of our upper echelon of our government. Why? People don't just run up to them. Why? Because that's how you keep them alive. You don't want them doing that. But imagine King Ahasuerus with that strict rule, nobody in the throne room without an invitation. And his three-year-old comes toddling in. Do you think he's going to lop off his head? No. No. Imagine that little three-year-old comes running up to daddy. The most powerful man on the face of the planet at the time is the Medo-Persian emperor. In comes his little child. He can come straight. He's not afraid. Maybe you're afraid of my daddy, but I'm not afraid. He's my daddy. You're afraid of King Ahasuerus. You're afraid of the king of the universe. I'm not. He's my daddy. And I can come boldly under the throne of grace. And so when you go back to Psalm 67, what you find is the psalmist is praying that God would be merciful, that God would bless, and that God would look down with favor upon the universe, and that all peoples would come to know him. In Proverbs 16:15, the Bible says, in the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. Think of that. That's what Selah means. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. What else must we do? We must instruct the nations in his ways. Look at verse 2. That thy way may be known upon the earth. Thy saving health among all nations. A beautiful example of what we would call semantic parallelism. It's quite common in Hebrew poetry. He'll state two different things, and that affirms the same truth. That word, God's blessing, that is poured out on the way, his way. There is only one way to salvation. There is only one way into God's favor. There is only one. It cannot be bought. It cannot be bartered. It cannot be bribed. It cannot be pled into it. It can only be offered by God. Now, the Lord blesses his people spiritually, physically, and specifically as individuals. He blesses. And though through God has blessed, others will turn and be blessed because that's how God works. As God has blessed you, other people through you will also come to know God. This is the missionary purpose of this psalm. God blesses us that nations will know his way and experience his salvation. How are they going to know any other way unless they see it through us? You think billboards are going to work? Well, I mean, what is it going to take? God wanted us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be the visible example of him working in the life of a human being so that the nations around us would see it and desire him. Are you living a blessable life? Are you living a life that God can bless and make you a living illustration of the truth of the redeeming God? And God's blessings and God's opportunities to praise him is because of his blessings upon us. So we have this opportunity to praise him in everything we do. We have the opportunity to witness to others of his salvation. That's why Romans 2:4 says, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When people see, can people see God in your life? Can people see God all over you? Can they see God through you? Is there that testimony? Is there that witness? Are you blessable? You know, the word here carries the ideas of deliverance, victory, blessings, and the rule of his law in our life. It's amazing to realize that we can and should pray for the blessings of God on people's lives so that people will see God working. Many times I'll pray and say, God, make yourself real to that person. Make yourself real. What do I mean by that? When they're in trouble and they pray and God delivers, wait a minute. Maybe they'll connect the dots and go, wait a second, I asked for this. And there's been times when I've counseled with people and they said, I've been praying for this. And God comes through and I go, okay, the shortest distance between two places is a straight line. You prayed, God answered. Where'd you think that came from? The emphasis of Psalm 67 centers on a missionary heart of God for all people. Now, I admit, God may not answer the way we think or the way we're looking, but God answers. That in blessing Israel, all nations of the earth might come to know him as well. That was the thing about Israel. When God chose those people, and he said, now, I'm going to bless thee. Abraham, in blessing, I'm going to bless thee. And the whole world will know because the whole world will be blessed because of you. Through you, I'm going to bless the world. They're going to see this. One of the crazy things is you look at the life of Jacob. Now, he's a messed up fella. He was a messed up champion for God. But Hamor, the father of Shechem, saw the blessings of Jacob, saw how God had blessed Jacob, and came out and wanted Jacob to stay and intermarry in and amongst their family. Why? Because God was blessing that man. I want to know your God because I can see his hand on you. That's missionary. Look at it, in verse number two, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. We must lead the nations to praise God. The blessings of God give us a way to praise him. When you're blessed, you need to give him praise and let people know. It needs to become the dominant refrain in your life, the dominant theme in your life. I am blessed above all measure. It's simple, but it's profound. And this remains true today. You and I live because of the mercies of God. We live because of the blessings and the redemption of God. And it wasn't for no account. It wasn't for no reason. It was so other people would see it. Are you living blessable? Are you living a life that's blessed? Are you recognizing that your life is blessed? During my discipleship time with people, and some of you have gone through it, I've introduced you to a journal. And I've asked you to pray And of course, you pray for your needs, and then you ask God what you should be praying for, and you wait and get an answer. And then I say, God, here's the things I'm thankful for. And then I instructed them to pray and say, God, what is it you would like me to thank you for today? And what that is you wait for an answer, and God's going to reveal some blessing you got that you didn't recognize. And how's the nations around us going to recognize it if we don't recognize what the blessings that God is doing in our life? How's the people around us going to be able to see God on us and through us if we can't even see it because we're not taking the time to recognize God's hand? Are you living blessable? You know, the phrase here is repeated for emphasis in verse 3 and verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. It reminds me of what the angel said to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. I bring good tidings of great joy to all people, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. One day, the north and the south, the east and the west will praise God. The rich and the poor, the young and the old, the urban and the rural, they'll praise God. The red, the yellow, the black, the brown, the white, and all shades of pigment will praise God. And our churches should be a place where we pray for people groups to come to know God. We can understand that Jesus has called us, His church, to pray for people groups. So God's salvation must be made known unto the nations, verses 1, 2, and 3. But also God's righteousness should be made known among the nations. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Our great God is awesome. He's thrice holy. He is a holy God. He's also a God who gets involved in the creation He created. He gets involved. He is not a God who is far away. He is not God afar off. He's not God aloof. He is God very present at hand. He is God with us. He is God in us because of the Holy Spirit of God. Here in verse number 4, it says, we're to tell them of God's justice. Oh, let the nations be glad, sing for joy, for thou shalt judge people righteously. Now, that word nation is unreached people groups, not political nations, but unreached people. And we're to be glad. These nations are to be glad and to sing for joy. You know, one of the cool things about God is the fact that there are absolutes with our God, guarantees with our God, that if we'll obey Him, He will bless. He will fulfill His promise. I love that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. That means every single time we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Why? Because His Son's blood covers our sin. So we are to be glad and we're to sing for joy because He's faithful. Two reasons for gladness. God judges people rightly and He governs the nations on the earth. He still is on the throne. I think of Psalm 23 where He says He leads us and guides us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He is not aloof. He is the Shepherd King. Now, God judges all the people. That's why Peter said, and He judges everyone righteously the same. So when you look at verse number 4, let the nations be glad. Let all these unreached people groups be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge these unreached people groups righteously. I love the way Peter said when Cornelius came to know the Lord in Acts 17. He said, of a truth, it's Acts 10. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Everyone is equal before our Lord. That's why it says in Acts 17, He hath made of one blood all nations. But when God judges, there'll be no bribes. There'll be no plea bargaining. God will judge through impeachable righteousness. There'll be no special deals. In Acts 17:31, Paul was talking to the people on Mars Hill, and he said, listen, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. So the whole nations, all the unreached people group are called upon by this psalmist. He is praying that all of them will come to know God as their Savior and they will call upon Him and praise Him. Like I said, we've seen it. We've seen national revivals or awakenings in the past, but not the entire earth. I guess the only time that came close is when Noah got off the ark and everybody on the ark, everybody, all eight people praised the Lord in unison. They all praise the Lord. So we're to tell people of God's judgment, but we're also to tell people of God's joy. Look at verse 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. For the second time, we hear the refrain of God. Now, this is going to happen. I mean, I think of Revelation 7 and verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. So when I think of Psalm 67, 1, and he says, and that thy face shall shine upon us. The psalmist is calling for all nations to praise God, and God will look down with favor, that smiling favor to all the people that exalt him. The praise of their lips is not really, it comes out of, the source of that is the joy of their hearts. The joy of their hearts. Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We sing that song, right, Brother Mike? The joy of the Lord is my strength. It says, let all the people praise thee. Let all the people know there's one true and living God. If this weren't true, then mission work is a big waste of time. If there's not one true and living God, if there is not one God who has left us here for the purpose of praising him, that the nations would know him, then missions is just a gigantic waste of time. We praise God because of his justice, because of the joy he gives us, and we lead others from the lost world to come to know him, to be saved, and to praise him for the same reasons, because we've been delivered from the penalty of sin. So we must make God's salvation known unto the whole world, to all the unreached people. We must tell them of God's righteousness, but we also must tell them of God's goodness. Look at verse 6 and 7 of Psalm 67. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Now, remember, now this is a psalm of harvest. This is what the Jewish people read at Pentecost. And there's so much here about God's plans for the nations. But it was to praise God for another year of provision. It was to worship the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God, through his abundant harvest, we're to follow his divine plan. All nations are to know of these things. And the goodness of God is not limited in scope. Now look at verse 6. It says, then shall the earth yield her increase. However, in lands where people live day to day, you know, and starvation is ever present, a harvest day is a big deal to them. What a celebration. And an abundant harvest would be the evidence of the gracious blessings of God. A sign worth of God's blessings, something to truly praise God about. But you know, God desires to bless us. Look at verse 6 again. Then shall the earth yield her increase. The full blessing of God upon the crops of this earth will never come to pass until all nations openly praise him. Nations which ignore God never thrive. They never thrive. Yet when a nation will praise God, God will bless them. Then shall the earth yield her increase. That means give her produce. God, even our God. That's talking about our covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God that will bless us. Do you realize that God is going to do in what he said he would do to Abraham in Genesis 12? What he said he would do to the nation of Israel in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, God is going to do. And what God said he'd do to David in 2 Samuel 7, he did. And he will do again when Christ comes back. And those who seek him and trust him and tell of him and praise him and fear him will be blessed by him. He expects us to honor him. How else will the nations around us know? We are the living, visible illustration of his existence, of his benevolence, of his mercy, because they'll see it upon us if we're living blessable. Look at verse 7. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Now, I recognize this will be ultimately fulfilled in the millennial reign. But you know what? It can be fulfilled right now in our life at your address, where you live. God knows you. God wants to bless you. But it's not just so we can receive. It's not just so that we can have or have more than other people. God wants to bless us so that the ends of the earth will know who He is. I mean, He could not be more clear that material and spiritual prosperity are not ends in of themselves. God is good to us in order that He can be gracious to the nations, to the unreached people. We give so that others can go to the unreached people with the message of God's mercy, love, and salvation. That's why we give to missions. God blesses us so we can be a blessing, or He can be a blessing through us to the nations. That's why it says, all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. So a question for all of us to consider, how do I, in this particular time and place in which we exist, play a part in God's redemptive drama? How do we be that part? How do we be that active participant in God's plan? How do I pray? How do I give? You know, God, who can bring a lot out of a little and distribute it in love, can bring such blessings through us. He can turn the whole world if we'll just be faithful. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look what the Bible reads. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verses 1 through 4. We should be asking God to give us money so we can give to missions, so others can go. Look at this. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded. That means went beyond what they had ability to do, unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. Now this is called grace giving. That is, you can take your budget and you can line it up and you can X out McDonald's and give to missions, and that might not be a bad idea, by the way. But we're talking about giving beyond your power. That's asking God for something you don't currently have, that you may give it. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. How do I pray? How do I become a part of God's redemptive plan? Live a life that's blessable, because as God blesses you, people around you are going to see God all over you. Live blessable. Number two, ask God. Say, God, please, please give to me so I can give to missions. If you give it, I promise, I will not let it stick to me. See, that's the problem, see. If God gives it to you and it sticks to you, He ain't going to give you anymore. He can't trust you with it. But listen, if you'll pray and say, God, give to me, just like you did these churches in Macedonia, because they were dead broke, but you gave through them, because these people purposed in their heart. Their heart was right. Then, number two, put yourself in the plate. Don't just put your money in the plate. Put yourself in the plate. Look at verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You know, God can't do anything worldwide if He can't do something through you locally. Last Saturday, six of us went out and put tracts on doors. We had a visitor here Sunday at 8:30. God brought him because he got a flyer. I never spoke to him. You didn't speak to him. The Lord just did it. But if we weren't willing to do something locally, He isn't going to be able to do anything internationally. So put yourself in the plate first and ask God, should I go? Should I be the one that goes? You know, God's still calling men and women of all ages to go to the foreign field. God's still calling people. The thing is, God will bless the Christian and He will bless the church that seeks the salvation of unreached peoples. He will bless us. God is committed to bless us who are determined to be a blessing to nations. That's what Psalm 67 was saying to us. God is committed to do this. And He's teaching us to be God-centered, to have our heart aligned with His heart, so that all the peoples will know of God's salvation, God's righteousness, and God's joy. This is the reason to believe. This is the reason to have great confidence that the blessings of God will be upon us if we're blessable. In Psalm 86 and verse 8, check it out with me. Psalm 86 and verse 8. Psalm 86 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations..." See, you stop right there for a second. If God is able to work on us and through us, in us and through us, the nations are going to see it. The people around us are going to see it. Look at that again. "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." You and I are living illustrations of what God is and who and what God wants to do if we'll live blessable. If we'll put ourselves in the plate and say, "God, just use me." And then if we'll let God work through us, people will see the blessings of God and realize He's real. Now, I'm not just talking about cash. I'm talking about the grace of God. Being faithful when it's tough. Being faithful when you're not feeling up to par. Now, if you're sick, please stay home. But you understand what I'm saying. As we get older, there's no excuse not to be faithful. Just because we're young, there's no reason not to be faithful. Just because our jobs change doesn't mean we don't need to be faithful. Just because the weather changes don't mean we don't need to be faithful. Are you blessable? The whole point of our existence, that's why God didn't take us to heaven, is so that others will see God on us, in us, and through us, and believe. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want to have a time of invitation. Brother Mike's going to make his way up here and he's going to sing a song with us. But the altar is open. Our Father and our God, point to us. Point to us. And Father, I ask that you would point others to yourself through us. And God, that you would help point out to us what we should be doing and how we should be involved. That our lives would be a testimony to those who don't know you that have yet to be reached. Father, help us as your people. You are our God, our very God. And it is you that we praise. May the joy of our hearts spill out through our lips of praise. And may our dedication of our heart come out through our hands and our feet and our giving. And may the nations be blessed. Speak to every heart and soul today. If there's one among us that's lost, may they be saved. We ask this in Jesus' name. In the quietness of the moment, Brother Mike, as we prepare for baptism, Brother Chad.
Father, we're thankful for this message tonight and the theme of our mission, March for Missions, Lord. We just thank you for a great God who can be spread throughout the world. We thank you for your gospel, your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And Lord, we ask tonight as we enter this baptism time together that it's a resemblance of your death, burial, and resurrection and the victory over the grave. Father, I ask now that you just be with us the next few minutes while we observe this church ordinance and add the new addition of our church, Brother Chad. Help us to be a blessing to him. Minister unto him, and as we fellowship and worship together for your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray, amen.